Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Kaiju Kingdom Podcast. I am your host, Chris Eaton. So, it is just me today. No Jessica. She is at home. Pretty much dealing family stuff. But some big breaking news happened over the last 24 hours, and I felt this couldn't wait. So, it will be just me kind of rambling for a minute, so I do apologize. I know I tend to talk like Grandpa Simpson and go into stories that really don't end, but I'm going to try my best to get through what is essentially a lot of business news today. Now, what is this news? Well, it's the fact that Toho just released a brand new global strategy plan. So what does this mean? Well, according to Bloomberg, who published the story about Toho's newest push, if you will, for globalization, Toho is now on the verge of a three-year plan. And that three-year plan involves investing 120 billion yen, roughly $1.2 billion American, into expanding into the global market. So what does this mean? Well, this means that Toho Studios and their many subsidiaries and IPs are going to be making a bigger push to come not to only to North America, Europe, South America, Central America, and a lot of places where normally Japanese films don't get the biggest release if you're outside of Japan. Now, why is this a big deal? Well, for the longest time, Toho pretty much focused on Japan. And rightfully so. That's what a lot of Japanese companies do. Unless you're like a car company or in electronics manufacturing, where that global market is your biggest asset. Entertainment's a little bit different because you're dealing with things like language barriers. Now, for the longest time, Toho would license any of their movies to a distributor. Distributor would lease it out here. And that's how we would get home video releases and things like of that matter. Best case example that I can give you right now, the last few Miyazaki movies, especially The Boy and the Heron that just came out last year, that's a Toho production, even though, yes, it's under Studio Ghibli, but Toho produced it. So that film was licensed by 4Kids and released in the United States, which meant Toho probably got a little cut. They got a fee, and 4Kids made money off their end because when you are a distributor, essentially what you're doing is you're not paying for production of a movie. You're paying for a finished product, and that you will be the one to incur the cost of bringing it over here, advertising it, and then you get a bigger cut of the profits. That's how that works. excuse me. So what does this all mean? Well, it means that Toho is essentially cutting out the middleman, and they themselves are moving forward with giving us international audiences easier access to their IP. And among that IP is Godzilla. That's why we're talking about this story. Now, this 1.2 billion isn't just for Godzilla. It is part of a bigger strategy because Toho has many arms. They run a lot of things. They are a very big company. They are not just film. They have real estate assets and a lot of other things going on. But they do produce a lot of anime. Most notably, Jujutsu Kaisen. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. I don't watch the show. I'm 41. And I gave my last shonen series that I bothered to put any effort in was Bleach. And that's where I will end that. That's not saying I don't like anime. I love anime. Grew up on anime, but there's, I'm an older man now. So unless it's Guyver or giant robots and stuff like that, I'll watch a director that I like, but, I don't have time to invest hours upon hours on many of these TV shows. They honestly, they're just not aimed at me anymore, but I digress. So, with the anime, they also have Godzilla. And Godzilla being a big cash cow for them, which is ironic considering, a little over 10, 11 years ago at this point, Toho kind of washed their hands of Godzilla. You know, Godzilla famously took a break in 2004 after Final Wars. And that was it. You know, the Japanese market pretty much was like, yeah, you know, it's cool, but, you know, movies are moving on. You know, the suits and everything, it's cool, it's kitschy, but, you know, you have these huge Hollywood blockbusters that, you know, visually blow these films out of the way. And again, it's not me crapping on the Millennium series or anything like that, but it's just looking at where the market's going and following along. And to be fair, Toho putting out a movie a year, it probably saturated the market a little too much. And I make this point because it's going to come up a little bit. So nothing. And then, you know, we have the great saga of Yoshimitsu Banno trying to make his 3D movie, which led to Legendary getting the rights and the birth of the MonsterVerse. And the MonsterVerse has been very successful thus far. And what it has done is also reinvigorated Godzilla for an international audience. And not just in Japan. Here in America, I would argue Godzilla is probably more popular than he's ever been. And he's not even being seen as like this weird kind of quiche kind of pop culture-y thing where, you know, oh, these are kids' movies, and if you're an adult, you like them, but you like them kind of, you know. It's not cynically, but, you know, there's a little tongue-in-cheek to them. No, Godzilla's taken quite serious. Like, there's a whole generation of kids now who know Godzilla and King Kong are, and they love them because deep down, every kid loves monsters. That's a universal fact. We love dinosaurs, love monsters. That's what charges the child's imagination. And these films, you know, say what you will. I know a lot of people don't care for them, but they are doing their job, and they're doing their job well. I have thoroughly enjoyed every single MonsterVerse movie, no matter how goofy or wacky it is, because honestly, that's how I take my movies. I take each movie based on what it is and not what I have in my head. That's how I go into everything. And does it give me what it's telling me it's going to give me? And does it do it well enough that I am entertained? Yes. Godzilla and Kong, The New Empire, that's a big, goofy show of film. And if it was made in 1974, it would be just like Godzilla versus Gaien. So, but the MonsterVerse has very much reinvigorated the franchise. It's made it much more popular to the point that Toho themselves even went, oh, hey, maybe we can make movies again. And that's how we got Shin Godzilla. That's how we got the anime movies, whether you like them or not. That is how we got Singular Point. And most importantly, that is why we have Godzilla Minus One. And Godzilla Minus One seems to be the keystone to this entire new business operation. And let me explain. So, as I mentioned with movie distribution, you know, someone picks up a company picks up a movie, brings it out here, and, you know, they'll make money off it. It's a middleman. Basically, it's kind of saying like Kraft makes mac and cheese, but Kraft is not directly selling you that mac and cheese. They sell it to grocery stores, and they sell it for a smaller, you know, they sell it for a price. The grocery store takes it. They give it a price where they can make a profit off it because they are the distributor. So when you come in, you're going to buy that Kraft mac and cheese. And if you're paying $5 for it, Kraft got $1.85, $2, and then pretty much the grocery store got the rest because there's costs and everything that incurred in all this, and everyone's got to make some money. Godzilla Minus One was distributed by Toho themselves, which is, at the time, a interesting aspect because Toho famously has not distributed any of their movies out here in the West, especially the United States. They've always had an arm out in LA, but that was mostly for dealing with licensing. And occasionally you want to rent a movie to show at a movie theater. They were the ones you go ask. So when Godzilla Minus One came out, the industry was, the film industry, let me make that clear, was coming out of COVID. And the theaters had not really regained their footing that they had pre-COVID. Now, that summer, summer to 2023, there was both an actor strike and a writer strike. And they went on probably longer than they should have. And that's, I'm not going to argue the merits of it right now, but it went on quite a bit to the point it might have been a complete, I would argue it didn't exactly do what it was intended to do. And that's partially because the industry has been changing. COVID did do a big number on it, and streaming has become a double-edged sword for the movie studios. Streaming very much, when it started, people were like, oh, I can pay Netflix $14.99 a month and I can just watch all these movies when they, you know, get out. Cool. And then every other studio got in on it and they're like, well, why are we licensing when we can do it ourselves and we can get $14.99 a month? And then the problem was, when everybody's doing it, you're not making money anymore, because now the difference between Netflix and what, say, Max or Paramount Plus or Disney Plus, they have to make these things. Or Netflix, much like any other distributor, they were just paying a licensing fee, and so their costs were very low, and they made money. And then every other, no one looked at the room. No one took the temperature, if you will. And everyone went, we could do this ourselves. Why bother licensing when people can just come to us and they'll pay us and we'll get all the money? Well, there's a lot of overhead with that. You have to build a streaming service. You have to build servers. You then have to pay for content. You have to make these things. And these studios spent a lot of money on, you know, Disney Plus, all the Marvel shows, the Star Wars shows. And when COVID came around, that seemed to be what they thought was going to be the saving grace, because who's going to go back out? So they put all these huge, big budget movie quality shows and actual movies. Mulan famously got released on Disney, even though you had to pay an additional fee for it. And the problem was is that they trained their entire audience that would pay to go to the movie, that if you just wait a month, it'll be on streaming and you can watch it from your living room. And that's not exactly a good thing, because you can watch a movie as many times as you want for that $14.99. Unlike going to a movie where you pay for your one showing, or your one ticket, and it's between $8 to $15 depending where you're at. I went LA where I lived. I was paying nearly $20 a ticket to go to some of these more premium theaters. So that is box office. That's a lot of money coming in. And when you have people that share their passwords and you can have several TVs set up in one household and you can watch those movies as much as you want, you lose a lot of cash. And unfortunately, it seems like the people in charge are just now realizing that. So when the strike hit, and streaming was a big reason for the strikes, the studios took what they had on the docket and started shuffling things around, because they didn't know how long this thing was going to go on. So that meant a lot of big films, most notably Doom 2, or Doom Part 2, got moved away from Thanksgiving weekend into March, at the beginning of March, and then Godzilla and Kong would be at the end of March. So there wasn't a lot of competition out there. You had I think there was one or two big films that were left out there, but beyond that, not a lot. So smash cut to December 1st of 2023, a month after it came out in Japan, Godzilla Minus One hits American screens, and it was meant for 2 weeks. It was only meant for 2 weeks. So that meant you go, you see it, because Toho themselves thought, yeah, you know, we got a kind of a flashy Godzilla movie, but it's nowhere near the budget of the MonsterVerse films. And not only that, it's an all-Japanese cast. They did not dub the film. It was subtitled. And they pretty much thought, like all the other films, most notably how Shin Godzilla did out here, which was released by Funimation, who no longer exists. They thought, hey, you know, we'll make a couple extra $X million. It's gravy. You know, the movie's doing very well in Japan. That was our market. So, cool. Well, tide turned. Without a lot of options, people showed up for Godzilla Minus One? Probably because a lot of people thought, hey, oh, this is another MonsterVerse film. And then there are fans like us who knew, oh, this is Toho's next installment. This is a Japanese Godzilla movie. Either way, a lot of people came out those first 2 weeks. And more than even Toho assumed it would show up. Because here's the thing. This movie got word of mouth. This movie, because it's that good. Takashi Yamazaki, he knocked it out the park. That movie made people believe again. It made them believe. And what was supposed to be a two-week run ended up being 2 months and accounted for the bulk of its $104 million worldwide box office. I think it accounts for like 60 or 70% of that. Because people went, this is a great movie. It's, yes, it's a all Japanese cast. It's in Japanese and it's subtitled, but it's that good. I had family members who know that I love Godzilla. And normally they were never watching these films. Yeah, they didn't even bother with the MonsterVerse films. And they went and saw it. And they saw it several times because, again, nothing else out there. And it was that good. It's a Spielbergian film that Spielberg himself never made. So what does that mean? Well, Toho made a lot of money. The theaters made a lot of money and Toho made a lot of money. So the movie theaters got a nice chunk of change because that's how their business operates. Usually the box office is split, if you're lucky, 50-50. And that meant that at least half of that gross that came from here all went to Toho. And we know that that movie did not cost that much. It cost roughly, you know, I think the ballpark that's thrown out there is between $10 to $12 million, which is insane if you really think about it because of how good that movie looks. So that, I believe, ultimately leads to this new initiative because now Toho put their finger to the wind and saw where it's blowing and they realize, hey, there's a market for what we make now. That this is no longer an era where we just make stuff for the Japanese. Other cultures like what we're making. So why bother with a middleman when we ourselves can push forward and offer this stuff direct to consumer? And that's what we're looking at here. So the overall gestalt is a lot of the big push is going to be anime, but they do have a small chunk of that $1 billion, $110 million American to be precise, that is going to push Godzilla. Now, what does this entail? Well, according to Toho, it's going to entail a multifaceted of things. And by their own words, amusement parks, God only knows what that means, but they're talking about amusement parks. Now, does that mean they're going to make a Godzilla amusement park? I doubt that, but it might mean that we are going to get more Godzilla-related attractions. You know, hope against hope that they bring the Yamazaki ride that's at Seibin, maybe international. We might get a chance out here in America. If you can't go to Japan, you might get, you know, hope that could be part of it. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. But what I'm assuming is that they are going to be producing actual attractions of some sort. Legendary has been kind of doing this with the MonsterVerse stuff. They've been doing these escape rooms based around the MonsterVerse, and they've been pretty popular, but we haven't really gotten any sort of like rides or something of like a Harry Potter land at Universal yet. So that is part of this. The other part is home video. They're making an investment in home video, so that might mean that, you know, we might actually get a release of those anime movies out here. But I'm assuming that's more or less on the line for the overall, with the anime and everything else, that perhaps maybe we might be getting direct-to-consumer stuff. Now, to be fair, I've enjoyed what Criterion has been doing. I know a lot of people complain that we don't get the dubs and stuff, but that is, very, again, rights issues. Toho doesn't own a lot of those, and that's why they don't want to release it, because then you have to pay someone else. But the big thing is more movies, possibly more TV shows. Now, some people are thinking, oh, we're going to get a sequel to Singular Point? That doesn't mean that, but it could be. But it could also mean We might get different Godzilla anime. We might be getting a possible Godzilla, Japanese produced TV show. Again, this is over a 3-year plan that they aim to enact very soon. But the big thing is, for a lot of people that I've been seeing, is that they are going to be pushing video games, both mobile, which I can already hear a lot of you rolling your eyes, but console as well. And that is a big portion of this big plan, which is console games. And I don't know if that means we're going to get a reissue of the Atari games. I doubt that. But it might mean that Toho might be, hiring some studios to make more Godzilla fighting games, possibly. We will have to wait and see what that means. But console games, I know for a lot of people, that's a big sticking point because, there's a good history of Godzilla console games, but many of them never got over here. For us, we had the NES game, the Game Boy game. We had Super Godzilla, if you could find it. And then the Atari games. Those are the big ones. And outside of the Godzilla, the animated series, Game Boy games, I mean, we don't have a ton. The PS4, I think, was the last Godzilla game that was released here. But the other big thing is that more movies and more merchandise, a lot of merchandise, opening up more stores. We're seeing that right now. In Japan, they have just opened a new Godzilla store in Odaiba. For those who have not been to Japan, Odaiba is where the big Gundam is. Not the moving one. It's the Unicorn Gundam. It's the Unicorn Gundam. And it's at a mall called Diver City. It's a very cool place. I love Odaiba. Odaiba, it's built out there in Tokyo Bay. It's an awesome place. If you get to go to Japan, go visit Odaiba, go visit Diver City. So, and they just opened a big Godzilla store there. There's the original store in Shinjuku. They have the store. They have two stores in Osaka. There's the main store, and then there's the one in Umeda. And there's one opening next week, as of this recording, in Shibuya. And Shibuya is pretty much the big shopping district of Tokyo. And there's a lot of things. There's a Disney store. There's Tower Records. There's a lot of things out there to go shop at. And they're opening it in the Parco, which is this big kind of it's a mall, but it's not a mall. It's hard to describe what these things are. It's a big department store that acts like a mall. That's the best way I can put it. So they're opening up one there, and it looks like they're going to be opening up many more. The hope is, if they're doing this globalization thing, we might get some Godzilla stores out here in America. That would be the hope. And if I'm going to take a guess, LA, San Francisco, and New York would be the first places to put those. LA and New York, especially. So that is on the docket. The other thing they did mention in this article, especially with movies, they are moving, it's officially in production, which is Takashi Yamazaki's follow-up to Godzilla Minus One. The article said sequel to Godzilla Minus One. Now, here's the thing I'm putting in asterisks with that, is that Bloomberg, their financial site, so when they report on this stuff, sometimes they're reporting on just the kind of overall gestalt. I'm not saying that it's a direct sequel. It's could be related, but we already know Yamazaki's doing a new movie. Most likely it'll probably be out next year for Godzilla Day in Japan. But I'm hesitant to say it's going to be a direct sequel. He's cooking something. We'll probably know by the end of this year what this film is going to be, and ideas of what it's going to be, and if it's going to be a sequel to Minus One. But I am hesitant to say that because they were probably just given information by Toho about what they're doing here, and they're like, yeah, we're, Yamazaki's, doing another Godzilla movie, and they just kind of put two and two together. So I would hold off on saying, hey, we're getting a Minus One sequel, because we might not be getting a Minus One sequel. We might just be getting something new that Yamazaki's cooking up. And whatever it is, I think we're all in. I don't think that is going to be any sort. That's not going to be a hard sell for anyone to see another Yamazaki movie. And considering that he was at CinemaCon, it used to be ShoWares, a week and a half ago, and mentioning that he has set up his first American film, which is going to be called Grand Gear. And he has said, no, it's not going to be a monster film. It is a sci-fi film, and it's going to be his first English-produced film, and J.J. Abrams is producing it. He's writing it. We don't know anything else. But he did clarify Godzilla's first, and then Grand Gear is after that. So I got a feeling that he's probably going to be really heavily working on getting Godzilla done in time, so that way he can come to America and make his first American film. I got a feeling that that's a very big deal for the man. You know, many, many Asian directors have come over and, you know, to be fair, they've, you know, been hit and miss. Unfortunately, a lot of Korean directors have come over here, and not everyone can be Bong Joon-ho. And even Bong Joon-ho cannot be Bong Joon-ho at times. So that is another topic for another day. So we're getting a lot of Godzilla over the next 3 years. And a lot of it is because minus one, and a lot is because of the MonsterVerse. And Toho is going, we're all in. They are putting all their chips on the table, and they're going to make it easier for us fans out here in the West to access this stuff. So we've already seen the American Godzilla store pop up online, and we've been able to buy some of the store exclusive stuff that gets over here. I mean, not everything makes it over here, but a lot of the stuff does make it over here. I think the next push is probably going to be maybe putting the Bandai's properly in stores, like the Bandai vinyl figures. That might be a big thing, but I got a feeling perhaps a proper Godzilla store is on its way. It also means that Toho's probably doubling down on more movies. After this Yamazaki movie, I can't fathom them, unless this movie tanks horribly, and I cannot fathom in a world where that happens. But to be fair, everyone thought Joker 2 was going to make all the money in the world, and it tanked. Now, to be fair with that, they went in a different direction of what that first movie was. So unless Yamazaki's doing something like that, I don't think for a second that that's what he's doing. The man's passionate about his craft. I don't think he's aiming to ever make like a intentionally bad film to, you know, shove it to other people. But this means we're going to get a lot of Godzilla, and this is completely independent from the MonsterVerse. And we got some MonsterVerse news in a minute, but Legendary is all in on their MonsterVerse stuff. It's one of the few things that's really making the money right now. Doom is making the money. They're all in on Doom. So those are their two big franchises right now. We know that, you know, there's another Godzilla Kong movie coming out. Monarch Season 2 just wrapped up. They're doing spin-off shows. We don't know what those will be yet. I got a feeling that maybe around Comic-Con, we might get some news. Who knows? But they are all in on building this world and turning it into like a mega franchise. It's on the cusp. It's not Marvel yet. It's not Star Wars, but it's a lot more than I personally was ever expecting. I didn't think they would go past, you know, that Godzilla and Kong film. You know, in many instances, that probably would have been it. Like, we made four. All right, that's cool. We're done. No. I got a feeling as long as people are showing up for those things, they're going to keep cranking them out. So this raises a question. And this raises a concern that I have, that I have noticed with a lot of these IPs when they get exploited to the nth degree. And my points are Marvel and Star Wars. Personal opinions aside on either of those, because I do love a lot of what Disney's done with Star Wars, and I do love a lot of what Disney's done with Marvel. They've done great things, but there is such a thing as too much of a good thing. And I have said in the past, I've said it on this show, that delayed gratification always gets you more. You want people to be hungry for this stuff. You don't want to gorge on this stuff, because much like anything, you think you can eat pizza every day, but by the end of the week, you're kind of sick of pizza. It's just part of the human condition. You know, we want some variety, and we want that hunger, if you will. And saturating the market could ultimately be a bad thing. And this is my worry, because I've lived through a couple of the droughts. There are people older than me that lived through several of the droughts. And the fact that we're at this point in this fandom where Godzilla is very much mainstream, it is very much accepted by the general public now. Like, hey, this is a cool thing. Godzilla's cool. If you told me that as a kid, that people would be walking around with shirts with Godzilla on them, and people are like, ah, that's awesome. Like, they know who these characters are. I would have spat in your face and called you a liar, because this was always a very weird niche thing for fans. I'm quite happy that we live in that world now, but it could all come tumbling down because, well, we're a cynical race. That's what we are at the end of the day. And when you have too much, you start getting away what we call the go-away energy. In the parlance of wrestling, you got bad heat. It's not good heat. Good heat is people, you know, are cheering for it. They're cheering for the bad guy to do it. But when you have what we call go-away heat, that's just people like, just, we're done with you. Go away. And that is my worry. You know, I'm 41 years old. I hope to live to 120. And I hope that, you know, when I'm in some sort of cryogenic chamber, then I'm just ahead, I can still watch new Godzilla movies that are coming out. That is my hope. And my worry is that giving everyone too much of what they want will make that go away. And that is my main concern. Now, Toho could be smart about it and not do what Disney did and not oversaturate the market. I would argue that after Endgame, Disney probably should have taken a break on the Marvel films, maybe taken a year or two off, and then come back and got people hungry again, especially after having this big climax of this 10-year story that they were telling. But they're like, no. We're doubling down. We're in a state of change. A lot of our main actors have moved on. We have new characters. We're going to focus on them. And we're going to give you TV shows and movies. And you're going to have to watch it all, because this is what you guys all want. And we, you know, all the connectivity. And then it just becomes a gray hillock mess of, I would argue, it's not bad. It's just boring. And when something that you love becomes homework, and you kind of stop loving it. Star Wars the same way. I've argued that Star Wars probably should have stayed as movies. With exceptions. I love The Mandalorian. All three seasons. Yes, I love all three seasons. Andor, I'm currently going through. It's a great show. And even Ahsoka. I loved Ahsoka. But, you know, there's books. There's the Book of Boba Fett. And there's all the shorts. There's a lot. There's a lot out there. There were several movies that they were trying to release back to back to back. And those had varying degrees of quality to them. And I think overall, like, doing something once a year that, you know, and I saw, as I mentioned, Toho did this with Godzilla. You would get one movie a year. And depending on that movie, sometimes you got great stuff like GMK. And then you got stuff like Godzilla and Mechagodzilla. Yes, that's the one I don't like them. You know, I like the least. I like the least. I don't hate that movie. There's no such thing as a bad Godzilla movie, but that one's a little lazy for me. But people kind of just got tired of it. They stopped showing up in Japan, and that could happen here. The fact that, you know, Toho waited literally 7 years between live action films, and they took their time to pick filmmakers that could really do something. And not only that, but Toho got out of their own way and got rid of a lot of their arbitrary rules that they placed on themselves for Godzilla, allowing people like Hideki Anno to play with the Godzilla lore. And, you know, you're doing, you know, like, I never would have thought Anno would have made a bureaucratic movie about a zombie Godzilla that evolves. That it's still wild to me that Shin Godzilla exists. And it's great. It's great. Yamazaki doing a post-war Godzilla movie. That's awesome. 20 years ago, no, that wouldn't have been the key. It's like, all right, we need a new monster for Godzilla to fight, and we need him to change forms to sell toys. Because at the end of the day, that's what those movies really were. They weren't too worried about the quality. They were worried about selling toys. And at the end of the day, that's what a lot of this still is. It's marketing. It is selling merch. because, you know, they're looking at what Disney and Disney did with Marvel and Star Wars. And even though, you know, hey, the movies and shows might not have been the top quality, they made a lot of money off those. I mean, Disney, I think, paid $4 billion for Marvel, and they've made, I think, like $10, $12 billion or something like that in profit alone off those movies. And the merch that they sell with it, I mean, there's, you throw a rock, there's something Marvel on every corner. Same with Star Wars. But it's also realizing you need your, you can't just keep feeding the people. You need them to be hungry. So when you do make the dish, they need to come and want to come. And that is, you know, my cautionary tale with all this. The, what Legendary is doing, where they're like, hey, look, we're not making a Godzilla and Kong film every year. And I know some people are arguing, hey, you know, can we go back to just doing Godzilla and Kong films? Well, I mean, like at the end of the day, they're going with the formula that's working for them. And I do hope that we get another solo Godzilla movie and a solo Kong movie. Like this, the world that they have created absolutely can fit all that stuff. And I think people would happily go see another solo Godzilla movie and a solo Kong movie. But, you know, they make you wait. There's between, you know, I think the longest wait was 5 years between the 2014 film and Godzilla King of the Monsters. And, you know, we had Kong in there in the middle. That was cool. And then we had two and a half years between 1920. Yeah, we had about 2 years in between that and Godzilla versus Kong, and then another 3 years. That's a good amount of time to wait, because you want it to kind of settle in. You want people to take in, really get, you know, entranced with these characters that you, you know, especially when you're introducing new characters, you want people to really get into that. And then you want, you know, part of the fun is the building of what's next, you know, the speculating. You want fans to speculate. You want people to be hyped for what's coming next. And, you know, at least with Toho, they're in another country, they're in another language. It's a little harder for that stuff to kind of get out. I mean, look at all the news and rumors that we had about Minus One. I mean, there was a point where we thought Godzilla was going to fight a non-mutated version of himself, and that is not what we got at all. But to be fair, there's a little smidgen of truth in that, because we got the Odo Island Godzilla in it. So it's a little easier for a studio in another country that doesn't speak English to hide some of that stuff. We're out here, you know, it's a lot harder. Case in point to my other bit of news, the next MonsterVerse movie, which is another Godzilla Kong crossover, is currently filming. We have a tentative list of cast. Dan Stevens is back as Trapper. You know, there's a lot of people in there, but a big bit of news that broke today, which made my 9-year-old heart just explode. Sam freaking Neill is joining the MonsterVerse. Not since Kurt Russell showed up in Monarch has this guy right here been over the moon. Say what you will about Monarch, but all the modern stuff, no, I take that back. All the flashback stuff was great. White Russell, awesome. Every time Kurt Russell's on screen in the modern stuff, that show excels. I love it to death. And seeing Kurt Russell and Godzilla together, oh, it's brought joy. Brought joy to this grown-ass man. Sam Neill, I don't think I need to mention, he's Alan Grant. And much like every red-blooded American kid, it was alive in the 90s. We all watched Jurassic Park. We all love Jurassic Park. And I do love Sam Neill as an actor. He's been in a lot of great movies. A lot of people love Event Horizon. I'm not one of those, but he's been around the block. Go watch Mouth of Madness, John Carpenter film. Fantastic in it. Or if you want to see him play a really good bad guy, pick up Daybreakers. It's a vampire movie. He's amazing in that. So I am thoroughly looking forward to what he's going to be doing. The idea of Alan Grant with Godzilla and Kong just tickles me pink. I know I've already seen a lot of people going like, oh, they're going to kill him off. They probably will. I don't know. The man's 77 years old. So I don't think he's going to be doing a lot of physical stuff in this movie, but I could be wrong. We don't know. We have no idea what this next film's about. It's not coming out for another 2 years. They're just now filming this thing. So can be a lot of things. But the fact that Sam freaking Neill is in a MonsterVerse film. Ah, we're getting closer. I need Jeff Goldblum in there. And I still, to this, I am salivating at the idea of Nicolas Cage in a Godzilla movie, because then I could arguably die happy, because I love Nick Cage, I love Godzilla, and I think crazy Nick Cage in a crazy Godzilla movie, that is my little bit of heaven right there. So, yes, those are the big news bits. Now, wrapping up all this, because, yes, it's been 40 minutes of me ranting on. At the end of the day, Toho's going to Toho. They're going to do what they're going to do. And, again, it could turn out to be a good thing. Toho could, you know, measure themselves, if you will, and, you know, put this stuff out a little bit at a time. Where it's going to be a year or two before we see what these bigger plans are for their global, globalization. But it's sounding like, you know, it's a lot of it's going to be, you know, out here in America and probably the UK, probably some in Central America too. But I think North America is like the big market that they're looking at, and they're going to be pushing Godzilla. We live in a world where there's two Godzillas. They're going to be running concurrently. And this brings in an interesting question of how this is going to work with Legendary. I know that the deal that they have with Legendary is that Toho is free to produce their own Godzilla movies, and they're free to release them over here. We just saw that with Minus One and Godzilla and Kong, New Empire. And they didn't step on each other's toes at all. And you can have two. You can have both. And if Toho is very adamant about marketing their Japanese movies out here as, hey, these are Japanese movies. You know, these are not the same as the MonsterVerse stuff. So we're offering you, you know, where Legendary is giving you pizza, we're giving you steak. Not the same thing. Could be a very good thing, or it could be a boom. We don't know. We'll see how they go with this, because again, Toho in the past has kind of pushed stuff a little too much, and the people just went, hey, we need a break. And that's what I'm worried about. I don't want that oversaturation. I don't want it to become blasé. And I just, you know, we're at the happy medium right now, where we get a little something in between all the big things. And it's just enough to let us, you know, get us through. I mean, right, currently we're about a month away from a brand new manga that's coming out. And they, you know, it's being teased on X the last couple of weeks with designs, like the new characters. We've got a little tease at Godzilla's design. The Gotengo's back. There's some ears looking monster that they just teased the other day. So they are expanding their horizons. Just don't go so fast that you hit the wall. That's all I'm saying. So if you want to comment on any of this, remember, you can find us on social media. We're on X, we're on Instagram, and we're on Facebook. If you have, you want to sign off on any of this stuff, that is the place to do it. So on that note, I'm going to wrap up this solo episode, because it's quite late where I'm at, and I'm pretty sure all of you are sick and tired of listening to my nasally voice, but wanted to touch upon this late breaking news, because it has very large implications for our future as fans. And on that note, that will wrap it up for this edition of the Kaiju Kingdom podcast. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening, guys. And we'll see you next time.